Also this morning we welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord. And we are greeting all who are now connected online. Yesterday the capacity was a bit more we would have required than it was available. Not everywhere they could see the picture last night. The sound could be heard still, and that's what it's all about. We have received greetings from Melbourne, Australia. We have received greetings from Moscow, greetings from Sweden, greetings from Uganda, greetings from the Philippines, greetings from India, greetings from Colorado, USA, greetings from Finland, greetings from Switzerland. Yes, greetings from South Africa. Greetings from Sri Lanka. And again, greetings here. A brother Anderson, I don't know where he is from. Then we have greetings from our beloved brother from Palermo. Then brother Etienne Genton is sending greetings. Greetings from Turkey. Greetings from the Iran. And we are just so happy that also in those countries the Lord is calling out His own. And we are grateful to God for all the brothers who are having part in the proclamation, which really is happening in the same spirit, in the same word. To me, early in the morning, the question was asked whether in a larger city perhaps 2-3 assemblies could be. Yes, a difficult question. And the answer is of course also not easy. In the Holy Scripture, there was always only one local church in every city. And in that local church, there were elders, there were deacons, there was the divine order in every local church. And my answer was, if it is the same faith, the same doctrine, in connection with one another, because the building cannot seat the people anymore, then one is before the question to build a balcony to make more space. This we would do, for instance, at this place. We would, for instance, not say, open up a second local church. We would just say, we are building a balcony that we have 146 seats more. And then we just want to ask God that He adds to His church who are being saved. I believe in the unity of the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe that Christ is the head of the church, and that He has set into the church the various ministries. And if these ministries are working in harmony, serving the church in harmony, then the church is being edified and it will be a blessing for them and it can be used by God. But the ministry, really, it has to be in the unity of the Spirit. where every brother respects every brother, and where everyone has his ministry and his task in the church, carrying out his duty, finding it and doing it. Then, as we all know, there are ministries which go beyond the local character of a church. And such a ministry Moses had, Joshua had, the prophets had in the Old Testament, John the Baptist had it, at the beginning, at the transition from the Old to the New Testament, namely to prepare the way for the Lord. This ministry was not yet in the church. It was as a bridge. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. And from that time on, the kingdom of God is being preached. Then our Lord had continued his ministry, and he has given his life as the Redeemer for the redeemed church. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was established by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not Peter established the church. Peter was just present. And the 120, they were gathered. But God established the New Testament church. And therefore, he then gave the various ministries into the church. And we all notice how Peter, in the first sermon, how he went to the prophetic word to show here is being fulfilled what God spoke through the prophet Joel. And what he announced from the first sermon on until the last sermon, a true man of God will go to the word of prophecy, showing here God promised it and here it is being fulfilled. And then we have, of course, especially in the second sermon, where Peter speaks about that God will send the time of refreshing, and that our Lord remains in heaven until this time comes. And this time is coming. It's very near, because it has to happen before the return of our Lord. And to this, I would actually like to read from the Old Testament three scriptures. I actually wanted to briefly go into our timely events. We all understood now that Rome is put now into the center of the world history, and that, for instance, the denial of the Holocaust is one of the most terrible crimes which one can commit. Whoever denies the Holocaust is either not right upstairs, or there is a motive, there's a reason for it, which makes him to do it. We all remember, of course, if 6 million of Jews in the Nazi time were killed, then nobody can tell me that the Pope, that the cardinals, that the bishops wouldn't have known anything of it. This nobody can tell me. The people didn't know it. But those who until the year 1962, until the beginning of the Second Vatican Council, on every Good Friday, they were cursing the Jews anew, that they were guilty of the death of Christ, and that they are a rejected generation. One just has to read it, what is being preached in the Roman Catholic Church on Good Friday, what is being recited there against the Jews. No man could say it more terribly on earth. And so this evil seed, since the day of Constantine, since the state church was formed by the church fathers, this evil seed was sown. They called the Jews as the murderers of Christ, as the murderers of God. They called it as a rejected people. I write it now in my new circular letters. All those who made their remarks about the Jews, I write their names. And this seed came up in the course of the centuries, especially in the Spanish Inquisition, and then, of course, in particular, in the Holocaust. If, for instance, of the 76,000 Jews which were staying in France, only 3,500 remained. Then the people, of course, know it in the country, and one can go from country to country. And of course, the tablets are hanging in the Yad Vashem, from how many people were transported from how many countries, especially to Auschwitz. The Nazis translated it as Auschwitz, Oswecim, but according to the Bavarian, they call it Auschwitz. All is blasphemy. All the heathen rejected the God of Israel, rejected the Old Testament, and the one true God of Israel. They made out of him a triune God. You can see all the pictures, the three people there. Our God is one God. He has not three faces. People have more than two faces, yes, but God has only one face. And God is one from eternity to eternity. But these inventors of the Trinity, they have sown the seed which came up in the Third Reich. These things are not only touching me, they are hurting me very much, because the whole world is also in this regard being deceived. Everything is covered up. Nobody is allowed to pull this curtain. And until today, nobody may look into the secret archives of the Vatican in the year 39 to 1945. These archives are being closed up and are being closed up, remain closed, until otherwise the people would have the information Let us leave this subject now. God will have the last word, and God will avenge all the blood which was shed on the earth. This is the fifth seal, and there all who were killed for the testimony's sake, to them were given white garments, And it was said, wait until your brethren and fellow servants are also killed as you were killed. We are praying for Israel. And this with all our heart and with all our soul. They were blinded for our sakes, so that we could open our eyes. God has laid it everything this way, but let us leave it up to Him. Right at the end, everything will be found. Everybody will see that God made everything well, whether we understand it or not. In glory, we all will understand everything. Not one question will be left about everything. We will have clarity. Let us read from Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. Verse 13 and verse 17. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Verse 17, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Brothers and sisters, these are the words of God. And if we today look into our time, then we just have to say honestly, it's not enough to say, Moses said. Otherwise it's being fulfilled. They have sat on the seat of Moses. The scribes were sitting on the seat of Moses. When our Lord at that time was speaking, he said it very clearly. Moses prophesied of me. Abraham was rejoicing over my day, and he was jubilating. And you cannot see it. So, in the time of Joshua, it was important to walk forward, the Ark of the Covenant, to have it on the shoulders of the men of God. And then, as we hearkened unto Moses, so we will also hearken unto you. Now comes really the most important thing. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Can you say amen to this word? That the Lord God is really with us. That the promises are becoming true. Let us read from the 8th chapter, Joshua chapter 8. And here it is verse 35. Joshua 8, verse 35. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them. Joshua, just like Moses, he was gathering the people, and all the words which God has given to Moses, he was reading them. And then the people declared, we want to do as the Lord commanded. Then we come to the important point in the days of Joshua. Now referring to our time, let me read these verses in Joshua, chapter 10. We are reading verse 12, 13, and 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ayalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Yasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And then it says in verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Brothers and sisters, we are expecting a tremendous day. We are expecting the latter rain. We are expecting the restoration. We are expecting a day as it was never on the earth. When the Lord will shake heaven and earth for his word's sake, which he has given us. And we believe it. And we not only have hope, but we have the assurance in us. He who started, he will also finish. What we need is patience. Just perseverance. Until this moment comes. Brother Branham, he said it. During the time of the seventh messenger, the early rain will be, and the seed is being sown. But then comes the decision, as on Mount Carmel, in the latter rain. Also there, Brother Branham makes a wonderful distinction. The sowing of the sowing of the message of the word during the time of the early rain, all who are connected with a farmer, with a country side, they know how important the rain is in spring. When the seed is sown, when the rain doesn't come, what then? What good is then the seed for? The rain must be there if it is being sown. When the word is being sown, there has to be the Spirit of God at work. The same way, the rain must come before the harvest. It must come down. You all know I'm coming from the countryside. I know my way around a bit in nature. God always, he gave examples which we can comprehend, namely to show what he decided in his plan of salvation. So, let us be patient. Let us walk forward together with the Lord. The calling out and the preparation is still going on. Of our God is still in the plan of our God. And when the moment has come which God already knows exactly, then it will be a day, it will be a time as it was never before on the face of the earth. So, let us walk forward by faith in trusting our God. He is never too late. And as we were counted worthy of God to receive the biblical teaching, which was given to us in the time of sowing, it was given to us richly, namely that we understand this seed crystal clear without any mixing, that we carry this divine seed and that the Lord will give grace to it, that the seed which was sown, that it comes up, and that the rich harvest of the wheat can be brought in. As John the Baptist has preached it in his first sermon, he will purge his floor and he will gather his wheat into his garner. That's how it is written in the first sermon which John the Baptist preached. Now it is really about our preparation, that the doctrine and that the life by grace are in agreement, that we really are not only in the kingdom of God, but that we, as the divine seed, have received the word, and that the nature of Jesus is being manifested through us. James, he of course was writing about it the best. And here he especially focused on the tongue. I just read the one place, firstly, from James, chapter 2, in connection to last night, where it was read to us, whoever offends one little thing, that he is guilty of all what God commanded in the law and the commandments. And we found out that nobody can slip through the net, that all are being caught in the net. And then we found out that our Lord and Redeemer, also that with the law, that he made it very clear, without the law, nobody knows the transgression. And so God has given the law so that we are aware of our transgressions and that we are led by the Spirit of God unto repentance, not avenging the other one, or not telling the other one, you have to do this, you have to do that. No, everyone examines himself. And then let him come as he is to the Lord. Let us just read this verse once again in James chapter 2, verse 11. Perhaps verse 10 first. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one single point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the whole law. Then in James chapter 1, the man of God said in verse 26, he wrote, James 1, verse
26,
if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The nicest servicing of God doesn't profit anything if we are not bridling our tongue. And we said it here a couple of times in the course of the years. We said it. What happened at Pentecost? At Pentecost, the believers didn't see cloven feet and cloven hands of fire, not eyes of fire. No. They received cloven tongues of fire. They received this unruly evil, full of poison, had to be purified by the baptism of the Spirit and fire. It had to be sanctified to be put into the service of God. And this, may the Lord God give it unto us by His grace. Now just be honest now. If we have said something bad about a brother, then the service of God, then comes the service and we don't want to sit next to him. We have a bad conscience. Because we said something bad about that brother. And then it even can happen that one opens the eyes and one looks where he is, and that one looks then somewhere else. And now my question. If we cannot sit here in the service, shoulder by shoulder, heart and heart united, as a German song goes. Brother Frank is reciting a German song. If we now, here, cannot have this stand, will we then, there in glory, will we sit there shoulder by shoulder at the table of the Lord? This is impossible. And therefore, beloved brothers and sisters, I personally, I say this with a sincere heart. I personally, I don't believe that a true child of God now can waste time to say something about a brother, about a sister. I don't believe it. I believe that all true children of God have to work out their own salvation by fear and trembling, and that they really bridle their tongue, and that they really make themselves available to God, examining themselves before God. As it is written here, if somebody seem to be religious, although we think to have a ministry and to do all kinds of things, if we don't bridle our tongue, and to be honest now, the scripture says it here, that nobody is able to bridle the tongue. The people are able to bridle every wild beast. You can read it in James. Everything the people can tame, not the tongue. Their God has to come on the scene. Their God in the soul, from the deep inside, the renewing has to take place so that it can be transferred to the outside. Let us read it in James chapter 3. I'm not accusing here, brothers and sisters, I'm not accusing, but we, who we were counted worthy from God, to look so deep into the plan of salvation of our God, we have the right to experience the preparation. We have the right to agree with God and His Word and to also bear one another in love. James chapter 3, in verse
6,
and the tongue is a fire. Did somebody see it? Actually, one doesn't see it outwardly. Let us read it again. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And here it becomes serious now. Here it gets serious. When the tongue comes under the influence of Satan, under the influence of hell, then it gets serious. And then a great damage is being done, which mostly cannot be made well anymore. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I say it once again. I don't believe that in the tongue of a single one who is present here today and of those who are listening now today, that this scripture can be used, that the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I believe that to the one or the other a word or a thought can slip through, but never with poison, never with poison together. But that as written in Ephesians, let us read it. In Ephesians, we have it in chapter 4, the various things which are listed here. And here it says, in Ephesians, chapter 4, from verse 1,
so ermahne ich euch,
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. A high divine calling. We all understood that now the last message is being carried into all the world. The calling out is taking place and the preparation belongs to it. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
So wie du in Liebe
so as you want to want to be bared in love, so you also have to bear your brother and sister in love. And as Galatians 6 says, then we will fulfill the law of Christ. Then it goes on here, from verse 11, the setting of the ministries into the church. Ephesians 4, from verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. And then we are told for what these ministries were set into the church. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What do we read in Hebrews? We don't want to go back to the doctrines of the beginning, but we want to come now to the perfection. Brothers and sisters, we don't have much time anymore. And we should use and redeem this time honestly, not only concerning the proclamation. This I'm doing by God's help throughout all these years. All the time which I had, was dedicated to God. I didn't take regard to myself and to all the consequences. But it's about more. It's not only about that the divine message is being carried, but that all who are hearing it, that they respond to it, that they are addressed. And to this, I just would like to read a word from the Old Testament, namely from Deuteronomy, chapter 4, to show us what it means when God gives a message, namely that we are really listening, that we are spoken to, and that we respond to it. Here, in Deuteronomy, in chapter 4, we read firstly verse 8. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Now comes verse 10.
Gedenke insbesondere.
Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So, not only statutes given, but obeying them. Remember the day of Horeb, when the Lord, not Moses, when the Lord said, when the Lord made the covenant with the people, gave the commandments and all the instructions he gave them along their way, they should take it to heart what God said. Then we read in verse 12, and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of his words, but saw no similitude, but saw no form. Only ye heard a voice. Verse 13, and he declared unto you his covenant. He declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them upon two tablets of stone. Brothers and sisters, let us go straight to the next scripture in Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27, where from verse 9 we are told, Deuteronomy 27, from verse 9, and Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. Be silent. Don't interfere. Don't speak. Be silent and hearken. Hearken to that what the Lord God said. Let us read it once again. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto Israel, saying, take heed and be silent and hearken. What are we doing today? Are we only hearing or are we hearkening? It's a big difference. Some are hearing, but they don't hearken. Sometimes one speaks to the people, they're hearing, but they don't hearken to what one says. And here we are told, be silent and hearken. Hearken unto me. Hearken to what I have to say unto you this day. Here it says, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. This was it. The people of the covenant were hearkening to the words of the covenant. And then please be silent. Don't speak anymore. Please be silent and hearken all the words which the Lord God has spoken. Verse 10. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And then one can read on and on. We go briefly to Deuteronomy 28 now. And here we read the first verses, Deuteronomy 28, from verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. We all know, of course, the scripture. We know what was said here and what is written here. Verse 2, the beginning of it, perhaps verse 3. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. We all know the Holy Scripture. Brothers and sisters, the moment is here. God is gathering his people. He speaks to us. And we should not only hear, we should hearken carefully and not speaking between, not interfering, but letting God speak to us. Now, concerning the relationship amongst one another. If you go to the altar, the scripture says, and if you want to bring a sacrifice, and if you are aware that your brother has something against you, then leave the gift, leave the offering, and go and be reconciled first, and then return and bring your offering. God, from the very beginning, He wanted that everything is being put in order. Of course, there are some things where people don't respond to it. Although one wanted it, it cannot be put in order. Because I remember now 1979, where all kinds of things, all kinds of slanders and false accusations were carried into all the world. Until today, everything is still around. No man can change it. No man can take it back. But this applies then. This applies then to the word of James. Not to a child of God, but it applies to a tongue which was kindled by hellfire and which really nothing but poison was spreading into all the world. A true child of God will take heed, will not even take such things into their thoughts, leave alone to spread it. If the Holy Scripture addresses us, then not those who are known as the slanderers worldwide, nothing can be made well anymore. They don't let themselves to be spoken to at all, because they think to be right. And we don't have to defend ourselves. We let everything go over us. What could our Lord do with the scribes who told him, "You are born out of wedlock. You are possessed. You have a devil"? What could he clarify? These tongues were kindled of hellfire until really our Lord got very angry, got hot-tempered, and he said, "Your father is the devil, and his works you are doing." So there are two different things. There are two kinds of people. All are claiming to be believers. The ones didn't experience the inner renewal, and they didn't experience what is written in John chapter 4. The water which I will give you will become like a fountain in you, which springs forth to eternal life. And this he spoke of the Spirit, which would receive those who would believe on him. And if we then go back to James, there it says, "Can of one fountain come forth sweet and bitter water?" It is impossible. So, today, we speak today at this place and all over the world, we don't speak to those who have put their tongue into the service of the enemy to cause damage to the work of God. Today, we are speaking to the called out ones, to those who were pardoned by God, who have experienced a inner renewing, and who don't give their tongue into the service of the enemy anymore, but putting it into the service of God. Brother Branham, in the sermon, the spoken word is the original seed. He said the following: remember, every spoken word of God is the original seed. By His word, God spoke everything into existence. He planted everything. As long as you are in this original seed and you keep it, then He will continue to multiply. He will bring forth Himself again. He will multiply Himself. And then Brother Branham uses the word hybrid as the word mixing. There is no mixing. Also this, we repeatedly say it at this place. Whoever is born again by the seed of the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has the same life, he has the same nature as it was in the Son of God. There's only one eternal life. And only who has the Son of God, he has eternal life. Then Brother Branham says here, say only that what God said. And with this it is settled. That's how God said it. More is not necessary. If you cannot explain it, then leave it. Leave it as it is. We don't have to explain anything. We can leave everything like it is. Here, next passage. The true life. Can only multiply through its original multiplying and come forth again. Just think of it. When you hear the tapes, remember, think about it now. The life can only come forth by the original multiplying as it started at the beginning. One could read here wonderful passages from the sermons of Brother Branham. When we were last Sunday in Zurich, and when we saw the table there full of books and full of brochures, I said to those who were present, I think Sister Münch was also present, I said, look what kind of rich spiritual food God has given unto us. To be honest, if we look here into our shelves, it doesn't make the impression yet, but if one sees there the table, almost 200 sermons, one can see them spread over the table, the most precious proclamation which was ever on the earth, the summary and revelation of all the mysteries. And I just can say again and again, two things have to be taken heed to in our time. Firstly, that the spiritual food is being distributed, and secondly, that the word is being carried from city to city and from country to country. Now, just take it to heart now. But in the USA, the claim is being put up now that the corn house is only Jeffersonville, and no other country and no other city on the earth. And there was the moment, the time, where from that place forth, to all the brothers, and even Brother Frank was forbidden to spread the sermons of Brother Branham without their permission to publish them. This letter I never received, thanks be to God. But other brothers all over Europe, they received this letter. And one just has to, they want to say with it that that brother there in Krefeld, he doesn't respect this matter. He thinks that he also can distribute the spiritual food. And then they say, Brother Branham received the commission, return to Jeffersonville and store in the food there. It's good, nothing against it. My heart is rejoicing about it. I have no trouble with it. But it would be now time, if these brothers would understand now that God, not a man, that God has given a commission. And I don't speak in my name now. I don't need to do this. The ministry in all these years speaks for itself. What can I for it? That the Lord God, with a tremendous, all-penetrating voice, spoke in the German language. He addressed the words to me, Your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. The second part was a great famine is coming. Store in the food and with groceries, because then you will stand among the people and you will give out the food. How many are present here today who can remember it, 1962? Who? There are, of course, some. Who is here today? Who? Of course. Sure. There should be some here now. Whatever. And these brothers, also in this regard, they should respect the divine order. I, of course, didn't know how it would go on after the going home of Brother Branham. I couldn't look into the future at all. I'm not a prophet. And then, when Brother Branham, on the 3rd of December, in Louisville, Kentucky, when he was sitting at the table with four persons, Woods and Softman, Branham and Frank, when he said, the food which you should store in is the promised word for this time. And it is kept in the sermons on tapes. On the sermons which were recorded on the tapes, these words are not coming from my mouth, but they're coming from the lips of Brother Branham. And that I, from the year 1958, I received every sermon which Brother Branham preached in Jeffersonville. They were sent to me. There it was stored in. But there it didn't remain. Just be honest. The word which God revealed in Jerusalem, did it remain in Jerusalem? Or was it spread all over the earth? One just has to know. And today I just want to say, whoever cannot believe this, he is not right at this place. It's not his place here. Please, don't be angry with me. Whoever doesn't respect this divine commission, whoever cannot believe this commission, it's not his place here. It's not his place. Because then an angel could come down from heaven. Then the great miracles could happen. And nevertheless, the question mark would be still in the heart of the people. What did we read of Joshua? As we obeyed what Moses said, so we will obey what you were reading to us. We will add nothing to it, nothing taken from it, leaving it in the original. I challenge the whole world to say what I have added or what I have taken away from it. I didn't add anything. I didn't take anything away from it. I agreed with God and His Word. And I'm thankful to God for it. And I hope all who are now being called out, once again, in ending, in closing, I'm not speaking in my own name. I believe that the end is very near now. And that we have no time for discussions anymore. But we have to believe, and we may believe as the Holy Scripture says it. And the preparation, experience in the preparation before the Lord and with the Lord. And really are being in lockstep, heart to heart, united, walking forward, believing the divine message with all our hearts, carrying it into all the world until the last one is being called out. And then the day will come, as it was never on the face of the earth, as then with Joshua. Such a day was not before, and such a day was afterward not. Such a day, such a short period of time will be, which the Lord God will use to shake the heavens and the earth, as announced in the prophet Isaiah, as announced in Haggai, as written in Hebrews, as written in Romans chapter 9. God will complete His work. We believe as the Scripture says, and we walk forward with God. And He will bring everything to pass. To Him be the honor and the praise. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. I would like to ask the two sisters to sing us a song. Let us bow our heads. Let us remain in silent prayer. And let us today examine ourselves. What kind of tongue do I have? Is my tongue purified by the fire and the Spirit? Could the sanctification by the Spirit accomplish with me for what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was given for? Or is my tongue an unruly evil which is causing havoc? I said it before and I repeat it here. I don't believe that here, under the sound of the direct word of God, people are present here whose tongue is still causing havoc. And if it should be the case, then this would be the day that we surrender to the Lord, asking Him to be merciful to us, to give the inner renewing, so that we can love the Lord our God with all our hearts, that we love one another. Brothers and sisters, the time is far spent. The return of our Lord is at hand. May it be given to all of us by His grace. Now, sing us a nice song, and then we will pray together.
So wie der Meister. dich immer sein. Mehr sanft und linde, mehr im Herzen klein, mehr eifrig wirken, mehr tätig sein für ihn. In seinem Dienste möcht ganz mein Herz erglühn. Nimm du mein Herz, ich möchte dein nur sein. Nimm du mein Herz und mach es gänzlich dein. Tilg alle Schuld, o Herr, ich bitte dich, wasche mich rein und halt mich ewig rein. So wie der Meister ist mein täglich Flehen, mein Kreuz zu tragen, mehr auf ihn zu sehen, mehr ernstes Mühen für Jesu mein zu stehen. Mehr seines Geistes verlohnen nachzugehen. Nimm du mein Herz, ich möchte dein nur sein. Nimm du mein Herz und mach es gänzlich dein. Tilg alle Schuld, o Herr, ich bitte dich, wasche mich rein und halt mich ewiglich. So wie der Meister ist mein Lebensziel, mehr seine Lieb ich andern zeigen will. Mehr selbstverleugnend, wie er auf Erden war. In Treu und Liebe, wie er unwandelbar. Nimm du mein Herz, ich möchte dein nur sein. Nimm du mein Herz und mach es gänzlich dein. Tilg alle Schuld, o Herr, ich bitte dich, wasche mich rein und halt mich ewiglich. Nimm du mein Herz, ich möchte dein nur sein. Nimm du mein Herz und mach es gänzlich dein. Tilg alle Schuld, o Herr, ich bitte dich, wasche mich rein und halt mich ewiglich.
Amen. Amen.
Das haben wir alle betend mitgesungen. We're always singing it in silent prayer. And to me comes the thought now, in all the songs, be it sung by the choir, whether we sing it as an assembly, whether they were sung just now, In every song, there is the gospel. Everywhere God addresses us. Let us take it to heart what we were reading. Be silent and hearken. Whoever hearkened today, he will be silent. And he will only speak to God, only speaking with God. And the Holy Spirit, he will lead us all and guide us. And we will pray for every brother and for every sister. We can pray. And if need be, we will only find good things which we will report. It's not necessary at all. Just to remain normal, also in the natural realm, and taking care that by our tongue no havoc is being caused, but there where need be, that we give a testimony of the grace of God, and that we just say what is for the edification, everything what is worked by the Spirit of God is serving for the edification. It will help the neighbor, and it will settle the unity in the Spirit. I will ask now Brother Gilbert that he comes and prays with us. And before that, I would like to ask how many were listening carefully, and how many are feeling that something has to still happen. I believe all of us. We are coming to the Lord as we are. That we just rededicate ourselves. May it be an hour of dedication, an hour of sanctification, an hour where we have come closer to the Lord. Our great God, we thank you. We are deeply touched by your word. We know that you never make a mistake. You are the one who has chosen and who has sent. Because we are at this place because you are speaking to us. You are worthy. That your people are gathering at this place to hear your words. You have said, and you have sent a famine, and we are here to receive your word.
La table est vraiment bien garnie.
Wir danken dir, dass dein Tisch voll gedeckt ist.
We thank you that you have prepared a full table for us.
Oh Seigneur, que vraiment nous mangeons ici la vraie nourriture.
And we thank you, beloved Lord, that we at this place may eat your true word. The word for our preparation. And we thank you, Lord, with all our heart, because you are loving us, Lord.
De pouvoir aimer toujours ta vérité.
May you put your love into us so that we always love the truth. Because we believe that your word is the truth.
Fais aussi en sorte que nous puissions être silencieux, que nous puissions nous taire quand toi tu parles.
And we thank you that we can understand what you are saying unto us.
David pouvait dire, je reste muet parce que c'est l'Éternel qui agit.
Because as David said, I rest in that what the Eternal One is doing. We want that your power is being manifested in all of us. And we are respecting the decision which you have made, and we are hearing what you are saying unto us. As you spoke at that time to Joshua, the people answered, "We will obey everything what the Lord has spoken."
Nous obéirons à toute la parole que toi tu as ordonnée, Seigneur, pour nous.
And we thank you, beloved Lord, all who we are gathered at this place today. We want to hear everything what you have to say unto us.
C'est l'Esprit qui parle à l'Église aujourd'hui et nous écoutons ce que l'Esprit dit aux Églises aujourd'hui.
Because we believe that your Spirit speaks today to us and we are receiving what he has told us today. May you always bless your servant, our beloved brother Frank, because it is your will that it has been manifested today at this place.
Qui nous a convoqués pour être ici à l'endroit correct et exact.
We are thanking you that we may be here today where you are speaking and where everything is set forth in the right way.
Ton amour nous enveloppe entièrement, le cœur, l'âme et l'esprit.
May your love may your love surround us and may it fill our hearts and be with us.
Totalement, Seigneur. Nous voulons être un avec toi jusqu'à ce que toi tu nous prendras. Nous quitterons cette terre.
Beloved Lord, we would like to have part in everything what you are doing until we are being taken up into your glory.
Et c'est dans le nom du Seigneur Jésus Christ que nous t'avons prié. Amen.
We all prayed this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray all together now. And let us thank the Lord that he speaks to us. Dear Lord, touch every heart, open every mouth, and touch every tongue, and may your fire come down, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, the time is far spent, and the day is coming, the special day which you made. You have called out a church which dedicated unto you, which has become your inheritance. Beloved Lord, wash us in Jesus' holy blood. Make all damage well. Purify, sanctify, prepare us unto the glorious day of your return. Precious Lord, to you, the Almighty God, we say thanks. Thanks for your word. Thank you for the working of your Holy Spirit. And your word will not return void, but it will accomplish for what you have sent it for. Open our ears that they hear, our hearts that they believe, that they receive, that your word can be manifested and accomplished for what it was sent for. Beloved Lord, We are bringing unto you now all the problems, especially all the personal troubles. The personal troubles in the marriages, in the families. You know the problems, O Lord. And from the very beginning, the enemy damaged the first marriage. He crept in and he deceived, beguiled the first woman. Beloved Lord, bruise the head of the serpent. Bruise the head of the serpent and give unto your people the victory of Calvary, full redemption, full deliverance, full insight into your whole plan of salvation and into the perfect love toward you and your word and toward one another. I thank you, dear Lord, that this day will bring forth fruit for eternity, and that you have blessed your people. Dismiss us all in your blessing. Be with our precious brothers and sisters from the Czech Republic, from Poland, Slovakia, all over Europe, Italy, Switzerland, Austria, all the neighboring cities and countries, all shall be blessed. Not only West, but also Eastern Europe may be included. All the countries around the Caspian Sea, all the Islamic nations, may they also hear the message which is being broadcasted from Almaty. In all the Islamic countries, they can be heard. It can be heard. Lord Almighty God, perhaps it was led by you in such a way that all these countries, Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, who had to speak the Russian language in the 70 years, so that they now can hear the divine message in the Russian language. Lord, Almighty God, who knows your ways, and we thank you that you have ways of peace and love with your people. And together we pray for your people Israel, for your covenant people, O Lord. And if it is your will, let Netanyahu be the next man who represents the country. And bless also our Israel trip and make it a blessing. And then we pray for all who have heard your word in Pakistan. Precious Lord, may it accomplish for what you have sent it for. And if it is your will, may you in March be in Indonesia, in Singapore, on the Philippines. May you bless and bless, and again may you bless, and may you give the last call until the ends of the earth. Bless all our brothers who are translating into various languages, who carry your word into the various nations, that they don't go to the left or to the right, but let them remain balanced in your precious and holy word, not bringing forth special doctrines and revelations and opinions, but that your word is being found in their mouths. And today we pray also, not in arrogance and not in judging, but we pray for the USA, Beloved Lord, your prophet, 1956, he said, it is too late. I don't pray anymore for the USA. But today we pray. Today we pray for the bride church. Not for the USA. For the bride church in the USA. And we are claiming that also they are coming to their senses again. That they come back to your word. And every kind of idolatry and every kind of cults, may they abandon it and may they serve the only true God. May they give you alone the glory and the praise. Beloved Lord, many thoughts are touching us in connection with the completion of your bride church. So we ask you, give us grace to carry your word and give grace that the last ones are being called out. Once again we ask you, bless from the beginning unto the end of the earth. From the rising of the sun until it's going down, be blessed. The name of the Lord be blessed. And the word of our God, may it reach the ends of the earth. To you, the Almighty God, we thank you also for the place which you have given us here. Like an oasis in the desert. We thank you for all the brothers and sisters who are coming to hear your word, so that in all the world all can hear and all can see that we are not speaking to empty chairs, but to the people who are sitting on the chairs. And beloved Lord, as you then, when the food was stored in, as you called the people together from the states together, as they were coming from near and far to experience the storing in of the food, so you are calling now your people together to experience the giving out of the food. Lord Almighty God, confirm today that we are not busy in our own work, but that it is your work, that it is your church, your blood-bought flock. And all the people said, Amen. All the people said, Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise, honor be unto our God. Let us sing, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. Do you have to say something, Brother Schmidt? Some announcements? Everything was said what concerns us, and in particular that we hearken, that we take heed, that our tongue is being tamed and bridled. Secondly, that we take heed to what God said, because His word remains forever the same. Amen. Hallelujah be praised. Amen. I also had greetings from brother and sister Rus to give unto you, and this I did now. Brother Rus and sister Rus is our greeting, all of you. And all of you, we are giving you greetings now into every city, into every country. Brother Erwe from to Lyon, God bless you all. God bless you, Brother DiProssimo. May He bless just all the brothers. May He bless all who are contributing in the work. May He bless in all the countries, in Romania, and so forth, wherever it might be. The Lord bless you, bless us all, and be with us. Until the next time, Amen. God bless you.